What is up, everyone? Thanks for joining us for episode 109 of the Gamecast. I'm one of your hosts, Kenny, and with me is Tess.
Hey.
And we are back. You know, it's funny. Because I was getting ready to say that if you've been keeping up with us, we have been gone or absent, MIA, for the last few weeks because life has been lifing a lot. And so with your response being like, hey, what's up? What's happening? Was hilarious to me because it showcases life a little bit.
It sums it all up, right?
If you don't know, we're a little exhausted. Things have been going on in the background and whatnot. There's things that are happening globally that we are aware of. And there are things that are happening locally that are a little bit more, I guess, of a personal nature that has been going on and that is keeping us from streaming. And so that's why you haven't seen us in a little bit. If you've been watching any of the news, you know what's going on, like worldly, with like Israel doing very, very bad things. And that's not to make light of anything. It's not something I'm going to get into a whole lot here. But yeah, Israel's doing bad things. To the Palestinians. So yeah, there's also things going on with the gaming community, on the side of, well, actually journalists. A lot of us have been laid off left and right. Shout out to the folks that got laid off at Kotaku. The entire site of Jezebel, I think, is gone.
Oh, what?
And, everyone got laid off today. A bunch of people, the editor-in-chief of The Escapist got laid off, and then a bunch of people, like, exited after because he was pretty dope. And so, yeah, it's been a lot of that. And then on the flip side, and this is nothing new, when it comes, with the developers, a lot of developers were getting laid off as well. Even after, you know, supposedly record profits and whatnot. Oh, you froze up a little bit. You'd be all right.
My internet seemed to, like, just pick out.
See, and then there you go. See, the internet is being laid off as well. That's, there you go.
Did
not to make light of it, but it's just
something.
I probably, there's been a lot, and there's more. Apparently, there's gonna be more. We're gonna talk a little bit about like the strike and whatnot. But apparently, a lot of people have been being laid off, walking out, all sorts of stuff, just because things have been. There's a lot of people at the top that don't know what they're doing, and the result is good people being laid off. That's, and I say good, not as in there's bad folks, but, you know, anybody who gets laid off is never a fun thing. You know, the rug is pulled from under you, and you still have bills, you still have medical issues, you still have life that costs money, and so it's never good. It's never a good thing. But I just wanted to kind of make those are like the bigger things out there in the world. And then there's local stuff or personal stuff that's been happening as well. So that's why we've been MIA, but we are back at the very least for this week to talk about some things that are a little bit more lighthearted. So again, I'm not going to go into too much of the negative things because if you scroll down like Twitter enough, it's there. If you look on TV or any other place, it's there. Like we're seeing it all over the news. And like a cherry on top was the guy from Montgomery, the captain or whatever that got in the fight.
Co-captain.
He is charged with assault. Right. Like what? Why? How, Sway? Like there's a whole lot of no right there. Makes no sense to me. But yeah, he's charged with third degree assault they brought it up as third degree assault. And I want to say the person who is making the complaint is charged on assault as well as one of the white guys who, pledged guilty. He had to serve, he has to do 200 hours community service, a bunch of other stuff. And he was like, I guess he wanted to get some get back, or I don't know, but yeah. So they've arrested that arrested him, and I'm like, this is trash. You guys started that. Like, this was, yeah. You should be allowed to defend yourself. You know, the chair guy, I can't really, yeah. You know, I mean, I can't vouch for you too much, but the captain,
what chair?
Yeah, that's
what,
yeah,
chair?
That was wild.
I didn't see no Unk with no chair.
Yeah, you know, the imaginative chair that no one knows about, apparently. You know, but yeah, it's so there's things happening. And so we kind of want to talk about some fun things, because life be lifing, and it would be depressing to talk about depressing things all the time. So, yeah. Moving right along. The first thing I want to talk about is Netflix Geeked. First of all, hold up. You know, pan to me for a second. So I got an email from Netflix, right? Because I've done a lot of, so the PR from Netflix reached out, and I've reviewed a lot of their content. So I have contacts at Netflix.
The internet turned internet. So they reached out.
Oh, they are? And we're back. What is up, folks? Yeah, so that's lifing. Things happen. See? In the middle of the podcast, things were happening. What was I saying? Oh, probably right. Not. So Netflix Geek. So yeah, so I get an email, and it's about Geek. So I'm thinking, like, they're talking about, hey, you know, these are going to be the trailers that are coming out. And, you know, if you want to get a jump on what's getting announced, you know, you can write up news or whatever on it. Because that happens a lot. Like, hey, this is coming out. The embargo is this time, et cetera, et cetera. Mm. But it wasn't that. It was to inform everyone that, or to allow us to write about Geek coming to different cities. This is the third year that they've done it, and they'll have different, like, activities and everything. But what really bothered me about this was that Geeked is coming to Virginia. It's coming to Richmond this Saturday. And I was like, oh, so you're just gonna wait to the last minute to tell me? Like, that's how we roll? Like, and mind you, it's not their fault at all. They probably didn't even know where I was. And it's a listing of cities. There's a bunch of different cities. So, like, it already hit New York. It already hit some other, you know, these other places. But I felt the way, because I felt like you knew it. Mainly because the first city that they show is Richmond. And what I'm thinking is they're doing it, like, they edit their email that goes out to everybody. So that the first city that, if you're in a city or near a city that's a part of their list, they'll show that one first, right?
Yeah.
And so I look at the email, and it's like, hey, Geeked is coming starting November, you know, November 6th or whatever. And like I said, it's gone to other cities. Like November 7th and 8th, it was in New York. Atlanta was the 6th and the 7th. Denver, the 8th and 9th, right? But the first thing I see is coming to Richmond, Saturday, November 11th, Sunday, November 12th. And I'm like, you know, if you gave me a little bit more time, I could have set something up. We could have did like a, you know what I mean? Like, there's so many things, there's ideas that I had, so many things I could possibly pitch, you know, in terms of just making content.
Yeah.
But for the people who don't know, there's a lot of stuff that's going on there. And one of them is Geeked Tattoo or Geeked Ink. And so what it is a tattoo pop-up shop. Mm-hmm. You can go there and get like a 9x16. Yeah, 9x16. And I don't know the size that is like on a person, but 9x16 bit of ink based on series and films from Netflix, but it's free. It's free. You get free tattoos. Now, granted, it's limited spots. First come, first serve. You can actually sign up at geekedweek.com, et cetera, et cetera. But I thought that was pretty dope. They also have other things. Bleach, was it on Netflix? I do know the live action was. I think the anime was before the latest season drop.
If the Hell Butterflies are in the live action, and I think I need to go get my free tattoo.
Hey, that would be fire. That would be kind of dope. It's free. And you know, obviously you have to be 18 plus. It would be.
Oh, let me see, then let me I see guess if I can find the time real quick. Clearly, I'm not 18.
It'll be 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. So it's all day. It's all day. And there's other activities there as well. That's going to be, you know, happening while you're there, from trivia to, you know, stuff of One Piece, just a bunch of different things. And I just wanted to make that known because I felt the way, because I'm like, it's in our backyard and I like, I got stuff to do now. Like I can't just go like I would have gone.
And got a tattoo.
Yeah. Like that was, yeah. Well, I'm actually scheduled to, start the tattoo process, for something larger.
Yeah.
In a few weeks. So I'm not too bent out of shape, but the fact that it was free, I'm like, come on, dog, it's free. Like, yeah, what are we doing? You know what I'm saying?
That's the only reason why I don't have tattoos, because I don't have any money.
Beyond that, though, we want to talk about Geeked and what was shown. One of the things that was shown at Geeked was the Blood of Zeus trailer, season 2. We talked about this. We talked about this on episode 35, Messy Gods, the first season, and how we thought there was some cool stuff there, but it was also kind of rough in areas. Some story-wise and as well as animation-wise, there was some interesting things going on. And honestly, I didn't think they were going to get a sequel or a second season. It's been a minute. There's some anime that's really good that has not got a second season yet. So I'm like, Blood of Zeus got it, but apparently it's mad popular. So I'm not hating. Do your thing.
Who likes this show? But
apparently, I saw like on my timeline a lot of people going off for the Blood of Zeus, and I didn't outright hate it, but I didn't. I was like,
It was almost like, again, opinion. My opinion is in fact. I mean, it's definitely fact in my world, and I live in my world. So, I mean, and I don't want to say, of course, I'm not going to just sit here and say, oh, it was objectively bad. No, Rings of Power was objectively bad. Like, this Blood of Zeus was just like one of the shows where I feel like it got away. It gets away with being bad because people don't notice because they're distracted. Like, you're distracted by something, or you're distracted. It's animated. It's not dubbed. And you don't feel bad about it being, you know, like, oh, because you don't have to read subtitles, whatever. Like, and it's like, oh, okay, cool. And then people are just like, oh, this is good. And it's like, I'm like, no, there were like really badly animated parts. Like, there's just like weird stuff that would happen. I'm sitting and watching, and I'm like, wait, is the scene over? And then the scene that should have been over about 17 seconds ago just keeps going. And then, but there's nothing happening, or the camera is panning off to the wrong place, or like just stuff that just seems very unclean and not polished, and then also just really bad story. And it didn't even matter that it wasn't historically accurate. I mean, it's Greek gods, like nothing was true. So, but,
right.
It was just like, even the point of view of the story, like, it was just like, wait a minute, what? So all of a sudden, Zeus is trying to get Hera to calm down. What? Like, whose idea was it to make, like, he's like legit the worst of his brothers, doing the worst things. Zeus is terrible, like historically and all on all accounts, he's really not a good dude. And then they're like,
right, he's not.
Okay, so he was messy. He decided to be messy, but then he realizes he's messy, and then he's like, Hera, calm down. Really, you have been abusing her and making her look like an idiot for your entire millennia marriage or whatever, and all of a sudden she's supposed to just not want to kill people? I what angle are we talking about? This was just like, oh, you guys chose to write a story like everything just to me was just bad.
And it makes sense. It's not even like, it makes sense in the idea that these gods are mad messy. So I understand making a messy story about gods who are historically messy. It's just that there was a lot of interesting choices, I'll say. And while I did like certain aspects, like you were saying, like the animation, and Netflix has been, I don't know if it's, I got to double check the studio that did this and a couple of others, because I was watching, for instance, I was watching the new Castlevania, which is good. the second season or the new Nocturne. Castlevania. It's a whole new Nocturne. So it's not, it does follow the previous Castlevania show, but it's mm-hmm. not, it's, so this is the first season of Nocturne, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And there's parts in the animation. The animation is lovely up until the fights, because there's this real stoppage frame rate weirdness that goes on with the fights, and it's not very clear what's happening versus the older Castlevania, where it looked really good. It was really polished or whatever. Yeah, and I don't know what that is. It feels like, if I can liken it something, I can liken it to like not so good American action films where the director has to cut between scenes very quickly because whoever's being filmed can't fight. You know what I mean? And so it's like, I have to cut really quick. So, that looked like a good punch, but it really didn't. You can't tell who's hitting who, and you just see someone on the ground at the end. It's like, oh, that, I guess he lost. You know what I mean? Like, it felt like that. There's some scenes where just stuff is flying all over the screen. And I watch a lot of anime. I couldn't tell who was swinging what at a certain point. And I feel like the Blood of Zeus series was all of that. Like, even people just walking, it was like, like the frames would just drop. And then, like you said, there was parts where people would just kind of look and you're waiting for them to say something and nothing happens. And then now the next scene. And it's like, why are we doing this? It's like we ran out of scenes or we ran out of paper to animate. I don't know.
Honestly, it's interesting. I think one of their, like the cleanup person, the people on the cleanup crew, the frame cleaners, either just decided not to come to work or called out sick, or like maybe the frame cleaner was also doubling as like a voice actor and just was somewhere else.
Terrible.
I'm just saying, this is like they,
and mind you, I don't know the process like that. You know, we don't know the process, but it's noticeable. And the thing is, I think Netflix was kind of getting away from that. Like, I think the animation was getting better for in-house animation that was their anime and stuff like that. Like, and it could be because they partner with other studios. It could be, I don't know, but it was getting better. And hopefully the Blood of Zeus 2 is going to be better. I'm going to watch it still because, but I was surprised that it got a second season comparatively to what other shows. And granted, it's not about quality, right? It's about who's watching it. However many people watch it day one to how, you know, whenever they do their metrics, that's how you get another season. Another thing we saw was the Avatar, the Last Airbender trailer. It doesn't look bad. It doesn't look like what I think it should look like, but it also doesn't look bad. It looks better than M. Night, and that's a low bar. That bar is like sea level. But it's also a Netflix thing. I don't know.
The bar is at the Titanic.
I don't know. I'm yeah, it's yeah, it's all the way at the bottom. It's underneath. See, I almost made a really bad joke. I almost made a really bad joke about rich people in a submarine. So I'm gonna let that one slide. I almost made it. I
heard it.
I almost did it
telepathically.
There was the blackening telepathic stuff right there. So yeah, the bar is mad low, but it looked cool-ish. I'm willing to give it a try.
Yeah, I'll give it a try.
It reminded me. Yeah, it reminded me of normal live action visuals where maybe the environments look really good, the sets look really good, the you know, their costumes or wardrobe are pretty solid, and then the rest of it may or may not fall apart. I don't know. We'll see. But hopefully it's a good show. It's big. It's a big opportunity to do something grand, and the fact that, I mean, they got Momo. Momo's in there.
I love
you know what I mean? Like, they're obviously trying, you know what I mean? Like, and, you know, we notoriously, what happened with M. Night and, you know, how he didn't want to have any humor in his film and all this other stuff.
He never even watched an episode of that. He just knew the right people to talk to. And they said, yeah, sure, we'll give it to him. Oh, the guy who did Unbreakable? Of course. His kids like that show? What? Yeah, of course.
Why didn't they say the guy who did the Happening, though? Like, why didn't... Okay, so, and then the next thing, and shout out to M. Night, his newer things are actually better. Like, I like some of his newer stuff, so shout out to him. The next thing that we want to talk about was Arcane, and season 2, there was just a little blip, you know, a little teaser, but I am super hyped for that. So the, and I forgot to say this, Blood of Zeus 2, the season 2 is coming out in 2024. The Avatar movie is coming out February 22nd, 2024. And then Arcane is going to be next year this time, November
2024.
Yeah. I'm super stoked about that. If you want to hear our review on that, go to episode 74, Powder Keg. It's actually one of our favorite episodes. Not favorite, popular episodes. It's one of our most popular episodes.
Yeah.
That it's behind, like, you know, some of our interviews, but it's like, I didn't think it was going to blow up the way it did. Hilarious. So yeah, go check out that episode for our spoiler review. All right. For a spoiler review for that. I'm super stoked for Arcane season 2. Everything about that series was great.
Yeah.
Just great. Amazing animation. Yeah. Great story. Awesome characters.
Yeah.
Solid, you know, if we're talking diversity, solid black characters, black and brown characters, funny. Yeah, it was good. Like, I have nothing bad to say about that show outside of the fact that it ended.
It ended.
Yeah.
It ended. I mean, that was it.
Yeah.
One thing I can say is that, you know how, like, we got it, and then we're like, hey, are we getting a season 2? Hey, we're getting a season 2. And then they finally say, yeah, we're going to go ahead and continue with this. One thing that just made me happy is that the respect that I have for them is also the respect that I see that the studio has for them, clearly Netflix has for them, or clearly the respect they have for themselves.
Right.
Because they're like, by the way, this show that we made came out in 2020 or something. 2019. When the heck did Arcane come out? And they said, by the way,
that was
2019 or 2020.
I think it was 2020.
So fact that they said we're gonna wait 4 years in between, and I am not angry. I'm not like, oh my God, I can't wait. Oh my God, please. You guys don't need that. Oh my God, put it out now. No, that is one of those things where I am like, you know,
2021. It was November.
It was November. Yeah, I remember.
It was November 2021.
They said, look, to do this right.
Yeah, 3 years. That's dope.
It took them 6 years to do the first one. So, like, they said, this is how much time we need. We really, really, really need to make sure that the story matches up. We have things that we're doing here, and we know that we need time, you know. And what we hate is when you have a show that's so amazing, so good, and then it can't just live up to itself, because even our next topic has had that happen to it in places. Or, you know, like, one of the worst disappointments ever, which was Promised Neverland. Like, you have such an amazing
season,
and then you can't even live up. Like, you just can't keep up. Like, and we don't want that to happen to Arcane.
But that was, like, some real... See, the thing is with that, I can understand with Arcane, in the sense of, like, it might not be as good as the first, because the first was so amazing, it's hard to kind of keep up. But, like, the Neverland joint was, you had the material.
Yeah.
Like, Arcane is, like, outside of the lore from the video game.
Yeah, they just made it up.
This is all new, kind of, like, they have their, right, this is all, like, background lore that you have that you haven't shared to anybody. But the Neverland had a good blueprint. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if, because we talked about this when we talked about that show, if the budget was cut suddenly, and so they're like, crap, we have to fit all of this into a second season. Mm-hmm. But it just seems like really bad decisions went into that.
Even with the animation being bad, even with the cartoon itself being cartoon, even with that being bad, the manga was bad too. Like, the manga had good parts. Like, it was like,
true. Okay,
these were good characters, like, da da da. But even so, the second half of that never lived up to the buildup of the first. Like, the buildup gave us a world. We were effing scared. We were reading this. We're like, what the hell? Oh my God, I'm literally scared. I don't know what's happening. And then they just kind of.
Right.
Just, oh, well, that. And we're going to make some things up that don't make any sense, and then it's going to end and everybody's going to be happy and go to the world where Corona lives. God damn, like, y'all got it. I don't know what needs to happen, but if y'all need to pray to the freaking goddess from The Sandman that the dude had prisoner for all those years while he was writing stories, do that, okay? I don't care who you got to lock up in a room, but if you need to write good shit, maybe you gotta, I don't know what you gotta make a blood sacrifice, because that was a letdown. That was a letdown.
It was.
It shouldn't be like that. So I don't want that to happen to Arcane, obviously, and I don't think it will, because I think that they are going to do their best to make sure that this story is airtight.
Right.
Because the first one is airtight. Yep. And they're, I think that they are, definitely, they're going to do their best.
Yeah, and it looks like, I mean, from the cliffhanger ending, yeah, it's
yo.
I'm thinking that it's gonna have one of the bigger. What?
No, I'm just saying, because Mel better come out with that magic gold thing that's on her back, because if she does not use, because I'm telling you, I don't care what he says, that woman has some shit up her sleeve, and she always has. And yeah, she ain't gonna die, because she's a magic user. She sits on the council. This woman controls the city. She controls it. We all know that she's right, the one who really rules the city. She's a magic user in a city that's not allowed to use magic. That's what I think that gold thing is on her back.
I'm looking, like, you know what they're going to do, though, which is going to make me mad, is they're going to do a time skip. I just know it. I know they're going to come in and do a time skip, and we're going to have to figure out, which is fine if it's done well enough, but I want to see the immediate aftermath of what happened. I don't want to wait for that.
You don't
want
to go backwards, because I feel like, yeah, we're going to get one of those time stories and be like, wait a minute, we're not going to find out who's alive until episode 6.
Right, and they did that kind of a little bit in the first season, where we went forward and backwards in certain aspects. So, like, I don't want that to happen. Yeah. But I'm pretty sure it's going to be Arcane season 2 premiere. It's probably going to be one of the biggest. I could see it being one of the biggest premieres. At least for animated something. That would be dope.
Maybe we should, like, win tickets and be like commentators. Then I can meet Harry Lloyd. I love Harry.
If they do it, I think it'll be one of the bigger ones, at least for an animated feature. It would definitely be one of the bigger ones. But yeah, so our next topic we want to jump into is Attack on Titan, the final part 2 of the last part of the final season. First of all, the rollout for this is ridiculous. I don't understand why I had to have so many parts. And we're talking about, like, consumer, right? Like, from a consumer standpoint, the people working on it might be like, well, we had to break it up because X, Y, Z, we wanted the animation to stay at a certain quality. So we couldn't just constantly kick the, you know, we had to take a long time and we couldn't sit on it entirely because we need to make money.
Yeah.
Whatever. Right. I understand that. But from a consumer standpoint, when you break up, you have so many broken up. I never liked the mid-season, you know, break, let alone what freaking mid-season and then a final part that's broken into 3 parts. Like, that's a bit much, fam. Like, that's a bit much. But we finally got the final season, and I both like it and don't.
Yeah.
I feel like the reveals that's there, and I'm not going to spoil it if you haven't seen it, mainly because it just happened. We might do a spoiler cast for all of Attack on Titan at a certain point, but for right now, since it just happened, I'm not going to dive too much into it outside of saying some of the reveals that they did was interesting, because I haven't read the manga. I read the manga after I watched, and just to see what was different. Mm-hmm. So some of the reveals were, like, really big for me, and I was like, oh, that's interesting what you did there. At the same time, and this could be because it's what's happening in the world, timely. It could also be the reasoning for certain things, the you know, character reasons for doing certain horrible things, was like, I feel like if you'd have had like a caucus, maybe you could have thought of a different way of going about things. I'll say yeah. that. Especially considering what happens post credits. If you watch the post credits, you kind of know. You know what you know. If you know, you know. Yeah. And so it's kind of like, dang, like, you know, it was, you know, your fix isn't all that final anyways, you know. And there's some poetic stuff that doesn't really resonate 100% because it's very loose politically. And I understand mm-hmm. where the controversy comes in about people kind of getting behind certain characters, no offense, white folks getting behind certain characters and not understanding the nuance that's trying to be had. And then there's a whole other thing in terms of imperialism that I'm not going to get into. Outside of those things, if we just look at what we have here, I feel like some areas were played safe. Mm-hmm. And in terms of like who died, who didn't die. And granted, when you look at the beginning of this show towards the end, there was a lot more deaths. Anybody could die at any second. And the final didn't have that. It was kind of like, we know you're surviving. Like,
that was very, you people are going to survive. That was disappointing, though. Again,
it was. Not that I wanted people to die. But
wanting for a particular character to die the whole time. And Mofo just kept living. And I'm like, this is not okay with me. I've been prepared for you to die. Episode in and episode out, even at times where I was like, okay, you were really useful here, I'm glad you're still alive, but only to survive in the end. And I'm sitting here like, what is this? This show is not the same as Naruto, where everybody lives except two people. And okay, let me take that back. A lot of people died in Naruto that we didn't want. Our mentors died, and then, you know, freaking Neji. Facts. How can you? I'm still hurt to this day that Neji died, which is why I pretend that he didn't. Yep. I have still been pretending that Neji didn't die because all I have to do is rewind it and he's alive. So that's just one thing. But I think my irritation is that why did we build this show? Okay, where here we are, people are dying.
And we are back again. Interesting. This gave me an opportunity to fix my camera since it was going out again. I need to get a new camera. But yeah, Tess is back with us. She dropped out for a little bit, but she's back. So yeah, people weren't... The people you wanted to die in Attack on Titan weren't. They weren't dying.
They weren't, like... Again, yeah. That was a specific person didn't die. A specific person that I had... I prepared for death multiple times and then just won't die. And I'm like, I don't even know what to say anymore. The only person who had more plot armor keeping him alive was Jon Snow. So the fact that this man made it through this entire series and might be mangled by the end, but it's just like, how, Sway? How?
It was a lot of how for all of them. Like,
okay,
there were so many moments where they were just like saved out of nowhere. Like the dude turning into a new Titan. Right. The dude turning into a new Titan. Just all of a sudden, a brand new one.
I said, this is the thing I didn't understand. I'm just going to say this one thing because people just need to understand. Because, I mean, we're talking Attack on Titan. Everybody knows ODM gear. Everybody knows that the scouts are legit ninja aliens. Like, right. Because of the stuff that they're able to do. But I'm sorry. That part where What's-His-Face done threw Mikasa through the air.
Yeah.
Okay? And the woman is flying at, like, 70 miles an hour, does not snap her medulla oblongata, okay? Her eyes aren't in the back of her head. All of her faculties are together. She hasn't even peed on herself by the time she gets to where she's supposed to be going. Makes absolutely no sense. And we always, always liked this anime for its realisticness in an apocalyptic style world.
Right, where, right. And I was just gonna say that Because for the people who are out there, like, they have giants and you're worried about realistic physics, they've actually done that. They've had moments where people get caught up in the wires. People get, you know, their arm broken because, you know, or like the sword breaks because it's, it's the way, the wrong way. And just so many bad things happen with that gear, let alone, you know, there's a whole training montage of like worrying about the physics of the gear. You know what I mean?
That was one of the cooler parts about the anime because, you know, here we are, we're watching the show and we're learning along with the characters, okay?
Right.
Like when we start this show and we start with the kids when they're little and then they become, they join the military and they go into basic training as teenagers, we're learning along with them. We are learning along with the fact that Eren is really, really having a hard time using his ODM gear, but come to find out his pin was broken whole time. And we're learning Mikasa's just really effing good at this and other people maybe aren't. We're right there learning. And then every time in the commercial break, there's an excerpt that gives us information. There was so much work that went into making every facet of this show realistic, even up to the Titans. Remember when they were asking questions, they were like, the way that our world works, anything that size wouldn't be able to exist. It wouldn't be able to move. There's no land animal on the planet bigger than an elephant. You know what I mean? That has more mass, because something else wouldn't be able to move. Okay. A human 50 feet tall with all the mass of a human wouldn't be able to move. It would fall under its own weight, but the Titans are able to move. Remember Hanji? Love Hanji. She's literally one of my favorite characters. Like, if not my favorite, she's Hanji sitting there explaining that. Hanji's like, And she goes on to talk about, like, you know, she's sitting there dissecting Titans and she's sitting there like, okay, well, look, their tissue dissolves very quickly after they die. Their spinal fluid seems to be made of X, Y, and Z. Like, they're only able to do these things because there's some genetic feature that is allowing them to do it. And they realize their mass is not the same mass as an overgrown human.
Right.
Their
mass
is actually much less because their body literally evaporates once it dies. Like the fact that their body can't move in the dark and they have to be in the sun, you know, all of this kind of stuff. There's real science that goes into it, which as we are sitting here is supposed to get people to understand they worked really hard in the background to make sure that this show was as realistic as possible. And that's what adds to the fear. That's what adds to the suspense. That is why the first episode is so good. That's why it draws you in. Because if you were in a world where you didn't know what was outside of your walls, except these 50-foot monsters that you don't know how they work and why they do the things they do, and then your mom gets eaten by one in front of your face when you're 12 years old while you're trying to fight and protect her, but you can't because somebody bigger than you carries you away. That is what starts the whole emotional roller coaster that is the show. That's why people liked it. It was like, God damn, like everybody was watching it like this. They're like, oh, and then it gets better and better and it pulls at your heartstrings and it really, really makes you feel a way. And then you start to really like these characters and then they die. I mean, Berthold died and people still liked him at that point. And it was like, oh, wait, no, he's a bad guy. Is he? Well, da, 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 da. And then it starts getting what the two people, the ones that were supposed to get married when they died.
Right.
And nobody could figure, you know, well, what's this Marco? When what's his face is really upset. John's upset that Marco is at. When did Marco die, everybody? When did Marco die? When did Marco die? And you find out way later in the next season how Marco actually died. Like, these are very, 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 very emotional things that made you like this show, that made you say, God, this show is, I might need to watch like My Little Pony after this, like, type stuff, right? But then, and so you get to a point where you start to realize, especially with, you know, Erwin's death, it was like, all of us were just broken. And I was like, I loved Erwin. And okay, you know, bye, Erwin's gone. Sasha.
Yeah.
That made people cry. Okay. So here we are. I'm like, okay, people are just, they're going to die. And they are going to die. And they're really George Martin-ing it out here. And then we get to the end and we're like, So basically everybody from the beginning who didn't die, everybody that I didn't mention is still alive.
Yeah. So slight spoiler, but yeah, no, the people who you like, there's some death, but not what you think. And it's like, it felt like, you know, the ending of, or at the very least the episode before the final of Game of Thrones, where, you know, the night has finally made it, the winter is there, and everyone who you expect to put it, like who the people who you worry about dying, no one died, like none of them. No. It was like the person who was kind of around, you saw them in one season, they had a decent scene, and they come like, and you know, a few others that kind of lingered around, but for the most part, none.
Yeah,
that whole night build up where they all were like, you know, getting drunk and everything, because the next night you don't know who's the, none of that. And it's not to say that you necessarily want it, but it feels like it's played safe. And mind you, this also happens in the manga, so it's not even like just the anime was actually the moment you could have switched that up.
Yeah,
you could do whatever. They did fix a couple of lines in terms of dialogue that come across as way more cringy in the manga than they do in the anime, but they're still not that great. And even outside of that, it's a good conclusion.
Yeah.
At the very least, it does conclude in a way that won't make you flip your table. There are, you know, it's not perfect. You know, it's not. Yeah. There's some things there. And I'm happy that it's done.
So happy.
In a sense that we've been waiting forever for this to be done.
Yeah.
And I'm not upset at the conclusion post-battle. Like, I'm not upset at that part of it.
That was great.
But the battle part was kind of not what I was expecting, and it was, that part was a little bit of a letdown. The final battle was a little bit of a letdown. Animated well, like it looked great, but in terms of what happened, I was kind of like, like however many years for of a final season.
But again, I felt the same way in the sense that I was a little confused because I didn't realize that this was the final. So you remember how, like, before when it was like Attack on Titan, the final season, and then we watched it and it was like, wait, what? And it didn't end.
Right.
So I thought that we were just, I thought that was still happening. I didn't realize that this was going to be the end. And then as I'm getting through the first half, and I was like, oh snap, I think this is the end. Let me go watch the other episodes. Because I was like, did I even watch that? Because I can't remember, because that was 6 years ago.
Right.
Like, I literally can't remember. It was clearly before I had a concussion. I don't know.
Right.
And so I go back and I start watching it, and I was like, wait, I think I remember this. And then there was an airship. Don't know when What's-His-Face got wings. Legit. Don't know when that happened.
It happened seconds before he showed up on screen. Like, it literally, like, there's no... And I went to the manga because I was like, maybe they explain it in the manga. And it's there too. He just appears. It's you know, Deus Ex, you know, whatever stuff happening. And I'm like, what? Why? And it wasn't, because it'd be different if it was a Titan that we had seen before. Like, because he had already, you know, like there were certain characters who already, they became Titans. And so, but you didn't see them Titan out yet, if you will. And so, if that was the case, like he just kind of showed up, but they couldn't do that because of the rumbling. They couldn't do that because the biggest Titans they have was walking across the planet. The thing though was that you painted yourself into a corner because you didn't have to have that happen. You could have made it so that Aaron was way ahead of the rumbling. But having him right beside it is like, we can't have a Titan fight down here because they will get trampled by all these other Titans. So, and all the heat, you know, because they're the ones that have the steam.
Yeah.
And so it was like, the only thing we can do outside of having him land on top would be to have him do what happened. And I was like, what? Ever. Like, I felt the way. Because they didn't, like, you wrote this. You didn't have to have them split up. You didn't have to have them... The ship go down. You didn't have to have any of this stuff happen, but you wrote it in a way, and then you're saw like, oh, this, boom, this is how we solve it right here. Just, he can, there's a new Titan. you'd never seen before. Boom.
Never seen before. You know, it was almost like playing
never
Marvel
mentioned
Snap.
Before.
You're playing Marvel Snap, and then a card comes out, and it's like, never seen before. And it's like,
yeah, it's gonna ruin your whole life right here. This
I'm
one card.
There, and I was like, wait, who that? And then, you know, they say it, and I was like, oh, that's why that's his name.
Yeah, Yep. And I didn't, because I was so confused at what was happening. I literally thought that they died via a different Titan. Like, I thought, like, the Titans were coming, the bad ones, and then another bad one got, like, they were fighting over the bodies, is what I thought. And I was like, oh, that's kind of bleak. And then I was like, oh, wait.
Nope.
It's not what I thought.
Nope.
And I'm like, who is that? And I was like, because with this show, it'll make you do that. This show can be very convoluted at times.
Yeah,
it'll make you go like, did I miss an episode? Did I miss an explanation? Because I swear there was one episode where they had an explanation at the break.
Uh-huh.
That was like key information. And I'm like, why would you do that?
Like, I don't know. I'm not even, I do not know. But you understand, like, and I told you I stopped reading, but I had to stop reading because of my concussion. Like, I couldn't read anymore. And then, like, I kind of just, every time I would get on it, like, I would get on Crunchyroll, and then I was just couldn't pick it back up again. It's just hard for me. I really, really have not been able to read manga. Like, I haven't read a lot of things. But I've told you this before. So I really do have to save my, for, like, work. It's not easy to, like, read stuff on the side anymore. But I also just kind of had to stop because, again, the story is so convoluted that I'm just like, you know what, just please just finish the anime so I can just watch it, because I can't put my effort into this is one of those things that we're kind of just talking about, you know, like really, really good stuff and getting bad, where I'm like, this was one of those things where the story exhausted me.
Yeah.
This is like it. I think that it has very, very, very great high points. Again, the beginning was great. And then, of course, everybody got pissed off when Eren turned into your typical shonen boy who it whines and complains and has a power that he can't use. And then all of a sudden, the story randomly decides to pivot to focus on Historia, which, again, actually made no sense. And then they realize that as they were going down that path, they're like, hey, this is a dead end. Otherwise, we're going to be writing for 20 years to try to catch this story up, because they just cut that arm off. Girl is living happy in the country with a baby. And the next thing you know, puts a coat on and says, hey, I'm the queen again. No, you're not. No, you're not. Okay. Our Armin is king. Okay. Okay. Nobody cares about you, Historia. Nobody knows your real name. It's Krista. And whatever. And I still don't know why you never understood how Ymir felt about you. This is weird. So, moving on. And who is it? A stable boy? I swear they just took that out of some rando British, like, regular book, you know? And then the whole thing with Eren, who, you know, Eren ends up being kind of, again, doesn't necessarily seem original. It seems a little, what's his face from Dune? You know, in a way, like, let me turn into a worm type thing. Like, I don't know, like, just some of it. Anyway, besides the point. But again, like we were saying, post credits, I love that. There was a great, great, great animation points. Great. Like, there was parts where my jaw was on the floor and I was just like,
yeah.
That was good. It was actually the very beginning. Because the very beginning, you know how it's kind of just like, okay, we're on a ship, da, 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 and then it's just really regular. It's almost like bad quality. And then all of a sudden, it was just...
Yeah. It was moving.
Oh my God, this is
they were
show.
Moving.
I've missed this whole time. I've missed this level of animation. Oh my God, we're getting back to Levi versus Kenny. Let's go.
Yes. Yes. Very kinetic.
Yeah.
Very just... It was done extremely well. And that's why it's hard to hate totally on it.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of good aspect. There's a lot of good here. It just didn't coalesce into what I thought the final should have been. I did like it was also interesting. I did like the time jumping thing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a big reveal there. Mm-hmm. And all the way back to the beginning of the first episode. Mm-hmm. Which was, I was like, that's huge.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I was like, if you were able to do all that, because he doesn't do like a Doctor Strange, you know, moment where he's like, I went over all the different types of ways this could work, and this is the best one I could think of. It mm-hmm. was more so like, hey, I was pissed and I wanted to murder everyone. And I thought, you know what? This is probably a better idea than murdering everyone. So let me do that. And it's like, no, you have the ability to talk to everyone who shares this bloodline. You couldn't be like, hey, I have this idea, because I'm not going to spoil it, but the way he maneuvers in a way that they don't know what he's doing is like, you could have just done that. Get all yeah. the information you can do and then do the thing, and then no one would be the wiser. Why didn't you do that?
Why?
And I get the idea of like creating a big bad that everyone has to focus on, even though that's been done so much.
So many times. It's not original but anymore.
Yeah, you know, and I get it. I super get it, considering that everyone thought that everyone was bad in terms of your bloodline, you know what I'm saying, because of what you're doing. But it's just, I just felt like, it's hard to argue it because of the results, but
yeah.
you did destroy majority of the planet. Like,
yeah,
you couldn't. There's no other way. There's no other way. This couldn't have.
Right.
Like, that's a huge number that they gave at the end of the thing. Like, it's such a big number that I wouldn't be surprised if no one survived. Like,
right. Because the truth of the matter is, people think that like let's talk some little fantasy here. Okay, For example, destroying 80% of the planet is huge. Okay, right? And so this idea that you know, this the biblical idea that people stemmed from Adam and Eve is the idea that back in the day, people lived for a very long time. That's the idea, because otherwise it just wouldn't work. Wouldn't work if there were only two adults that were the progenitors of the entire human race, living a lifespan of which we would know before modern medicine would not be that long. I mean, we're talking probably in the 60s max or something like that.
If that.
Exactly, because you probably would get bitten by a snake. Okay? So you die. So the thing is, so the idea in the Bible is that people live for hundreds of years, okay? And they live for hundreds of years so that they can have plenty of children, and so that, you know, da-da-da-da. If this were, so the point is, if that many people died and lifespans were still short, because lifespans would be shorter after a great war, it's very, very possible that the amount of life would go down.
Exactly.
An interesting part about our planet right now is that the older population is becoming more populous versus the younger population.
Yep.
And that is something that is being seen in almost every country except like Africa and South America. I mean, country, continents, Africa and South America. Right. I don't know anything, people. So my point is what apparently could have happened is that the entire planet there's a huge possibility that the entire planet wouldn't have even recovered.
Yeah.
And so there's that, except the idea that destroying the populace would destroy most of the people who wanted to war, and then everybody would just be peaceful afterwards, which is a great segue into what the creator wanted to do, which is that as long as there's people, there will be war. I think that is
essentially
an idea. It's just like, look, you'll never find, people can't have peace. You can have peaceful times, but you cannot have peace forever. And because that has seemed to be true in the entire existence of human beings, which science says has been 10,000 years, we just have to kind of agree to that. Like, in our big age right now, in our effing big age right now, we are still bombing each other. So, like, I'm going to go ahead and agree with what he is trying to portray here, that no matter what, we're going to keep killing each other, no matter what drastic measures happen, no matter what. I mean, that's drastic. What Aaron is going through is drastic. I think the other thing that is decent, I was actually just talking with a friend about this. Yeah, yesterday, was it? Or not yesterday, Tuesday. Or Monday. About the author, because he did an interview with New York Times, I believe. And okay. He had mentioned about how when he originally started writing, and anybody can correct me on this if I'm wrong. I think when he originally started writing, he had an ending in mind and he wanted to stay true to that. But everybody knows as writers, when you start to write something, your stories always evolve. And most writers will tell you that you start to write a story and the story starts to write itself. I know that, like, I write songs and then I think that I'm writing something and then the song writes itself. And I'm like, that's not what I intended on writing. But okay, so those things happen. And I understand that when it comes to writing stories too. Because right. It's a little bit of that. But here he is saying that he was writing and the story was evolving and it was going in a different direction or whatnot. But he wanted to stay true to the ending that he had created a long time ago. And therefore, and doing that was very hard structurally, but he kept going and he managed to do it. And so one of the things that he decided to do was make Aaron go through the same thing that he himself as a writer was experiencing. He felt like he was a slave to his original idea. And so Aaron ended up becoming a slave to his original idea. And so Aaron couldn't break free from this destiny. And I like that's, you know, that he kind of laid his own experience on top of his protagonist. And I think that that is very poetic and I think it's very creative. So I think that that's great. And I think it's nice to share that process with people so that they understand where you're coming from, because I think a lot of people probably were reading and watching and saying and confused because they're like, it just seems like the natural progression of this story would have been different than where it ended up going. I think we all said that multiple times in the story. We're like, we're all in this together. Remember, we said this is one of those stories where you're learning things with the characters. That you're not just a bystander watching. You're in there with them. And then you're like, I mean, it started getting convoluted for me, like really hard when the owl showed up, you know, with the, when, you know, the part in the manga, because I remember I was reading the manga and it was like, whose memories are these? And that's where it just started becoming like, really like, wait a minute, what are we doing here? Not angrily. It was just like, you know, like I just had.
Yeah.
And so it became this anime for me, as much as I loved it and still love it, you know, as much as I appreciate the art, it's draining.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it drained the writer. I think that's what he's been writing this since what? He was a kid. I mean, like. It's very exhausting. And that's why when you had texted me and you said, hey, Attack on Titan's out, and I was like, I already watched it. I was like, I watched it. I was laying in bed. I was literally laying in bed and I said, oh, because I finally got Hulu working on my phone again. And I was like, wait a minute. Oh, Attack on, oh, okay. Choo. And I put it on and then I'm sitting here. And then, like I said, I didn't even know what I was watching because I was like, did I watch the other episode? Like I said, it happened like 1,000 years ago. I wouldn't know. And then I was like kind of going back and forth. And I was also trying to do my hair at the same time. And I look like a criminal under this, by the way. And complete, like if D'Angelo had a little sister that wanted to be in Set It Off, that would be me.
Wow.
Like that's how felonious I look. Anyway, that word actually just gave me a headache. But so that was a hard one to come up with really quick. Anyway. This whole story became very draining for me because it took a lot of energy and we're supposed to be this was one of those ones where I wasn't even trying to predict the end. I didn't want to predict it. I just want to know what's happening. I just want to know and understand. And I even feel watching, I just watched the ending that I didn't know it was the ending. I thought it was just going to be like part 4.5 of 10. And it ended up being the end. And I was like, oh shit. And then, but I really, then I sat here and I said, wait a minute, we're going to have like an actual podcast about this. Am I going to have to go back and watch the entire show again? And I'm like, oh crap, I don't know if I can do this. Remember, I just put myself through Inuyasha. Like, again. And I was like, I can't. And then that's like putting myself through Inuyasha like twice in a like 2 year period or something, or three, 4 years, it doesn't matter. So I thought about that. And then I was like, I don't know if I can do that. I think I'm tired. I think I'm very exhausted.
Yeah.
I don't know if I, but I want to, because I actually want to get that feeling back that I had when I used to adore this show, like adored the show. I was like, oh my God, this is so good. And here I am now, all these years later, what is it? 10 years later or whatever, 9 years later, I am exhausted. I texted you and I was like, you're like, you said you have feelings. And I said, I'm just glad it's done.
And I
say that again, I'm not saying this to be mean, and I'm not saying this to be mad at the writer, the studio, anything. I'm just saying that emotionally, this is what this show did to me. This is how this show made me feel. I am not like excited or vindicated or, oh my God, like, I'm not like, oh, this is the ending we all deserve. Like, I am exhausted. There are things I liked about the end. Like, again, I love the post credits. I just thought that was brilliant.
Yeah.
But other stuff, I was like, what was the point of half of the, of all of this? The maze that you put us through did not pay off. Literally,
not 100%.
The story vectors went nowhere.
Yeah.
And I'm like, there was no point. Again, when we talk about stuff that is so well done, and it's so, this is why George Martin takes 40 years to write one book, because he's making sure it's airtight. Okay. And
it's
there are
tough.
No other vectors. Like, it is this. This is what you get. When he talks about this, he means this. And it might have happened 20 years apart, but it all comes together. This is just like, there was like, oh, this character, and then this Titan did this, and then it ate that one this year, and then this person did it. And then it's like, so that meant nothing?
Yeah, like there are some threads that, I mean, in a sense of like world building, things happened.
Yeah.
And you can kind of like, okay, this is a way of establishing mood or motive, or, you know, it's a way of storytelling that tells you some things outside of it. But because there's such a sense of urgency for what's happening in the moment, it's hard to have those tangents be as impactful as they could be, because we are looking at the end of all things right now. You know what I mean? Like, there's, and even though that they go back in aspects to these other characters, it's like, it doesn't, it matters, but it doesn't. And it's hard to say it without spoiling, but there's things that matter and things that don't, in a way that takes away from the story. But then again, it's like, you know, all together, overall, you did pretty well, you know,
yeah.
You did pretty well. So I'm glad, you know, shout out to them finishing Attack on Titan. Finally, I'm glad they're probably gonna take a vacation. They don't want to animate nothing anymore. Like, I'm not drawing anything. I'm not doodling. Don't talk to me about animation. Like, they are probably done. So yeah, Attack on Titan, it's finally done. I've been still watching One Piece. It's amazing. And I just finished Pluto on Netflix. So just throw out some things. If you finish watching Attack on Titan, you want to watch something else, Pluto, it actually has a beginning and an end. It is a little slow, but it's probably one of the best anime of 2023. Like,
that's good.
And for people who don't know, it's basically Atomic Boy, but there's a segment that was redone years ago, like a part of the manga that was redone and made into its own manga, and it was darker. It's kind of like the Dark Knight run on Batman. Like, it's kind of pulled out of the canon and made into its own thing. This is what Pluto is. And so you have Atomic Boy, and you have all these other characters, and it's violent, and it's interesting. Like, people die a lot. But towards the end of it, like, all these revelations and things that come about, it's freaking great. We're going to do a podcast, or I'm going to talk about it more so at a different time, but I just wanted to throw that out there. If you're if you're exhausted from watching Attack on Titan, there are some anime out there that are one and done, not 3,000 seasons, not 50 years. It's like just, I think, yeah, it's only 8 episodes. Like Pluto is only 8 episodes. So just wanted to throw that out there. The next thing we wanted to talk about real quick before we go was the strike being over. Now, some people didn't know that the strike for the writers was over, just like the strike for the directors ended way, way early. This was for the actors, TV actors, background actors, film actors, all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. Their strike is over, or tentatively over, but most for the most part over. I think there's like some voting that has to be done, but SAG, AFTRA, I believe that's how you say it. I was looking on their website and they talked a little bit about what they agreed, because I want to say earlier in the week or last week, the studios gave out like a final offer. Yeah, and SAG was like, no. And so I was like, dang, this is going to be longer. This was over like 118 days. Mm-hmm. But apparently they were, the studio was like, you know what? Whoever was doing it, whichever person in the studio was like pushing back, it seems like all the other members were like, hey, shut up. Like, we were really close. Let's get this done. Because I kid you not, when this went out, we saw commercial trailers for new films. I got emails about like doing interviews with actresses and whatnot and actors. Mm-hmm. Like, they were ready to go. Like, people were like, we got to get back to work because we're losing billions of dollars with people not doing anything, right? And so they finally got to some type of agreement, and it looks like it worked out in the actors' favor. Just reading a snippet here, it said, in a contract value, and this is at the SAG-AFTRA website, like, or the blog or whatever, but it says, in a contract valued at over $1 billion in new wages and benefit planning funding, we have achieved a deal of extraordinary scope that includes above pattern minimum compensation increases, unprecedented provisions for constant and compensation that will protect members from the threat of AI, which is the big thing. That was the big thing. They also say that, and for the first time, establishes a streaming participation bonus. Also another big thing. They have pension and health caps have been substantially raised, which will bring much needed value to their plans. In addition, the deal includes numerous improvements for multiple categories, including outsized compensation increases for background performers. Amazing. Critical contract provisions protecting diverse communities. So a couple things real quick. The AI key, the big thing with the AI was that you would get hired, they scan you, and then they can use you without your consent. And it went on like post-death. So like if you died, they can bring you back into a film, back into whatever. This was also a big thing with the background performers, because they were just going to get hired to do one day of work and then never be shown again. So the fact that they have provisions, they have more compensation going to them, they have things in, I believe what it is they're not going to never see AI, but mm-hmm. it's one of those things where you have to opt in. So if you opt in, then there's the idea that they can scan your body and all that good stuff. Also, you get compensated for that. So you're not just, it's like residuals. You're not just going to be scanned and never get work again, which I think is great. They also said that their compensation increases and all that stuff for streaming platforms, because that was the big thing with the streaming platform, saying that the market has changed in terms of ad revenue. It's not like television. And because of that, they had to switch how they do things in terms of, here's a big fat check. You don't get nothing after this, even though the viewers and all this stuff keeps cranking out, whatever, subscribers. And so they were able to kind of adjust that. They don't go into like specific details, but they do kind of adjust that. So people are getting compensated based on how the streams go. Like if you're watching your show, all these people that are watching our show, and it's a big deal, we should get some type of compensation. Especially considering that the streamers are now adding tiers that have ads, which is like the worst thing. I would not. But shout out to everybody who does, who's been doing it for years. But the fact that they actually have that tier now, it's like, come on, you're getting ad money. You know what I'm saying? You got to share. And this is only for 3 years. And I know, and some people were upset. They're like, oh, they're striking for 3 years. You don't understand. The 3 years, it's a precedent. Number one, people are covered for 3 years. Number two, you have more standing when it comes to the next set of negotiations, because if this works out and the streamers make money, they're not going to care that much. I mean, they're always going to care because they're always going to try to make more money. But if it's like everybody wins for the next 3 years, you have a better leg to stand on. Like, hey, we showed you that you didn't have to screw us over and you can still be billionaires. Let's go. Also, with having a 3-year plan, if they had to, you know, let go of certain things, or they couldn't be as strict as they wanted to on certain aspects, it's only 3 years. So you can test the waters. If it doesn't work out for us in 3 years, we can go back to the drawing board and push a little bit harder. But at the very least, people are getting back to work. They have better health care and pension and all this other stuff that they didn't have before. It's a win. Like, this is a win for actors across the board. And I'm happy that they were able to, you know, lock that in. I'm excited. And not just excited because, you know, we're getting new content, but excited because they deserve it.
Yeah, they do. They deserve it. We worked hard. They work hard on everybody. Yeah. It's everybody. It's all the people involved. I'm happy.
Yep. Background, foreground, you know, extras, whatever you call it. And they now can actually survive, because it's not like living in Hollywood is not cheap. So being able to have residuals that matter in the streaming era is great. And I hope that trickles down, because the music scene is a whole nother thing. The last thing I also want to say before we go is that this is, so it's over for that side of content, not content, art. It's art. Mm-hmm. The other side is the animators. They're having their time is going to be coming up pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
Where they're going to be trying to negotiate, and they're saying that they want help because they're on their own. The writers, directors, and actors kind of all, you know, the directors kind of went their own way at one point, but the writers and actors kind of band together, and they were able to, you know, strike successfully because they were together. Yeah. The animators don't have anyone now because their contract is coming up later. And so people got to keep in mind that, you know, we're going to see that. And this is very important because people already look at animation like it's a cheap thing, a below the, you know, it doesn't really matter. We've seen whole studios get, shuttered because of this type of stuff. And animation is actually really important all the way around. It's animated films are films. That's what it is. It takes a lot of talent. It takes a lot of skill. It is an important thing that we have to protect. And I'm saying that as, not from a studio standpoint, because I don't have the power. But if you do see anything pop up in terms of like, because I know that happened with this strike where you could donate food, you can donate money, you can donate whatever to kind of keep them striking, you know, so they don't have to go and, you know, scab essentially for money. The same thing would have to come up with animators, because we're already seeing, I mean, there's been a lot of talk, and, you know, we're going to go ahead and go, but like there's been a lot of talk about studios basically not doing a lot of animation. Outside of Disney, a lot of studios are like, hey, we're going to do some in-house stuff. Or I think Sony was like, we're going to do, it could be the inverse, but they were saying like, we're going to outsource to other places to have them do a lot of stuff. And then we're just going to do like the final edit type stuff. And while that sounds nice, because other studios get some play, the people who work there, it means that they're redundant. They get laid off. This is typically what happens. The same thing with AI, with animation, because people are thinking that you could just animate with AI. No. For several reasons. And they don't want their jobs taken. So, you know what I mean? Like, that's something else to look at outside of this particular strike being over. But that is our cast for tonight. Shout out to you guys for hanging out with us. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure to subscribe and hit that notification bell so you're up on all the new content. If you're watching elsewhere, make sure to subscribe and add to your RSS feeds. We appreciate you. Sorry for the technical difficulties and whatnot. But that's life-lifing. That's what we were talking about, life. So if we're not back next week, it's because life was lifing a little too much. That's pretty much it.
Exactly. Yeah. Goodness. That's pretty much it. I really don't have anything. wash your hands and your faces and your butts and be kind.
Yes.
Really, just try your best and be kind. Kindness goes a long way, everybody. That's it. Bye.